we bow in your presence, Lord. We thank you for just another day that you've given us. I pray, Lord, you would meet with us today. I pray for our mothers today, Lord. I pray for the ones that's present still with us, those that's already gone. I pray, Lord, that you would be with my dear brother. I pray, my Father, that you would hide him behind the cross. I pray, Lord, that you would protect him from the attack of the evil one. I pray you'd use him, Lord, help him to recall to his memory the things that he studied and prepared. Lord, I pray you give us receptive hearts that we may take your precious word, Lord, into our heart, apply it to our life. I pray, Lord, for the pastor. Pray for my dear brother. Pray you touch him, Lord, in the service today. Give him strength and an anointing to be able to preach what you lay upon his heart. For all that you do today, we'll bow our unworthy heads. We'll give you the praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. By the way, happy Mother's Day, all the mothers out there. And it's good to be here. If you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we're going to be, we left off in verse 11 last week talking about the atonement. We went a little bit more into talking about the deity of Christ and how that if Jesus Christ the Lord wasn't God in the flesh, the atonement would mean nothing for you and me. So thank God for the atonement. Thank God that God came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he died on the cross for sinners. All right, but let's look at verse 12. Paul's going to be giving a comparison and contrast here once again, and which he often does, and you'll see the same thing in John. He does the same things, and so a lot of times that's how you're able to study the Bible, is by comparison and contrast. Okay, he says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So we see great typology there in verse 14, but let's back up to verse 12. He says, "As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, we're going to be talking about, if you see these references up here, we'll be talking about the image. If you go to Genesis chapter 5, we'll start with that verse there on the right. I want you to see this here. We'll be talking about Genesis chapter 5, and look at verse 4. Can you hear me? Am I good? Yep. So we'll be talking about these verses here, but we're talking about the federal headship. Okay? The federal headship. Okay, Adam was given dominion. In Genesis, we'll look at this verse here in a moment. But that federal headship, okay, has to do with accountability. Okay, you might have the head over a nation, or the head over the world. At that time was Adam. Adam was given dominion. We'll see here in Genesis chapter 1. And God created man in his own image, which was Adam. Okay? And so he gave him that dominion, and therefore he gave him that responsibility and that accountability. Okay, so when he sinned, okay, that death passed upon all men, because Adam was given dominion. Who technically was the first human to sin? It was Eve. But you see, sin didn't enter the world until Adam sinned. Because why? He was given dominion. And so that goes back to accountability and responsibility and who was in charge. And so that's a great thing to understand about God's chain of command. Okay, he gave man that authority and that dominion. Therefore, that responsibility passed upon Adam. Okay, just like you have the head of a church, the bishop. Okay, he's accountable to God for you. He watches for your souls. That's why he gets the final say on things. Okay? Just like in the home, the husband is to rule his home. Now, in today's modern society, that's misogynistic and chauvinistic and all those different things. But listen, I'm the one who has to answer to God for my home. Would you want that? Because one day the Lord's going to call me on the carpet and say, "Now, what about your home? How did you rule your home? Did you rule it well or did you not rule it well?" He's not going to ask my wife, he's going to ask me. So the buck stops with me. Okay? So if I bring things into my home that shouldn't be in my home and it affects my family, guess who God holds accountable? Me. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps and I was a squad leader, when one of my Marines would do something that he wasn't supposed to do, you know who they called on the carpet? Me. I didn't even have to be there. I wasn't even present at the time, but they'd called me on the carpet. Why? Because it was my responsibility. And I remember my senior drill instructor used to always tell us, he said, your squad is a direct reflection of you. So your family is a direct reflection of you. Your church is a direct reflection of the pastor. And Christ's body is a direct reflection of him. And sometimes we do some things that are more damaging to the Lord Jesus Christ than the lost world ever thought of doing. Okay? Because of our actions. So we have to keep those things in mind. But so we got a federal headship, just like Israel, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Council of Elders. When they stoned Stephen, they rejected the preaching of Stephen. That curse fell upon them. And he said that, they said, his blood be on us and on our children. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you've got a probationary time there in the book of Acts. When that Jewish Council of Elders decides that they're going to stone Stephen, guess what? That's what I showed you in the book of Acts. You won't see any more miracles done in Jerusalem. That thing starts shifting to the Gentile. All right, so for 2,000 years, that curse has blinded that nation of Israel. You see how that works in the federal headship? All right, so let's look at Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at this thing here. Well, let's look at, not 4, 5. Genesis chapter 5, look at verse 1. Now, if you study your Bible long enough, you'll start to pick up certain things in, as far as Bible numerology, and you'll see that 5 is the number of death. Okay? And notice where we're teaching out of in Romans. It's Romans chapter 5. And so you start to see that death and showing those things and how death, 5 is a type of death. It's the number of death. Look at this here. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in likeness, God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name Adam. Notice their name. Who named Eve? Adam did, right? In the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now look what the chapter and verse is. Genesis 5:5. See, the chapter and verse markings in the King James, you got to pay attention to them. So he dies. So, but notice that. When you were born, your natural head, put it over here. Was Adam. And in Adam, all die. Everybody in Adam, you're going to die. Because of Adam's transgression, we all die. But over here, Christ, all are made alive. Okay, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay, you got to switch fathers. Okay, this is where you started. You didn't do anything to get in Adam. But that's where you started out. But you can receive the free gift. You have to make a choice to get in Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even then that believe on his name. But you see the federal head? That's why we die, because of Adam's transgression. And you were created in his image, in his likeness. All right? Adam lost the image of Christ when he sinned. That's what Christ came to restore. Notice that Adam's dominion was over the physical earth. There's your kingdom of heaven. He was given dominion. Over the kingdom of heaven. And he was also given dominion over the kingdom of God. When he sinned, that one went away. And this kingdom of heaven, who's the God of this world right now? Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4. So, Adam lost that dominion, but guess what? Everything else died. I'm talking about the plants, the trees. Look at it in Genesis chapter 1. Look at 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." There's the image. "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." All those things die because of one man's sin. In creation, everything dies in creation, doesn't it? Everything dies. All right? Look over at Genesis 3, verse 17. "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, curses the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." So that creation is cursed because of one man's sin. Why? He was given dominion. And because of his sin, everything else suffered. This is why we die. This is why creation dies. This is why in the regeneration of the earth, when Christ comes back, what's he come to restore? He already restored this. The kingdom of God is within you. That's why you must be born again. Spiritual kingdom. But when he comes back, what's he going to restore? The physical creation. Look at Matthew 19, verse 28. I'll go right up to it. Must be the Lord. Matthew 19:28, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Notice that. That's that physical kingdom of heaven. I showed you that before, how that word regeneration shows up twice in your Bible. Once here, once in Titus 3:5. Okay, look at Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5, very familiar verse. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." What did Adam lose when he sinned? The Holy Ghost. Got a dead spirit. That's what you're born with, a dead spirit. According to Ephesians 2:1. Amen? And so that regeneration, what is he regenerating here? Kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost. What's he regenerate when he comes back? Kingdom of heaven. And he's qualified to reign over both kingdoms, which Adam had, but he lost because he sinned. Was Adam innocent? Was he innocent when he was created? Yes, he had no knowledge of good and evil, right? Just like your children. Had no knowledge of good and evil, but I've showed you this before. Although he was innocent, was he righteous? Doesn't become righteous until it's tested. Okay? He was innocent. He was tested. He failed. Christ was innocent. He was tested. He passed the test. Therefore, he's righteous. Therefore, that gift of righteousness, which we read in Romans chapter 5, passes upon you when you receive him. You put on his righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, we've talked about that before in the law. Sure, they were considered righteous as far as keeping the law, but they were not sinless. They were just doing what God told them to do. But they were never sinless. It could not take away sin. But because Christ did what he did, now we can become righteous under him, and now he's our head. Make sense? All right, let's go to Ephesians. We'll get back to these other verses. But look at Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 21. Talking about the Lord, obviously, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's the millennial reign of Christ. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be what? The head over all things to the church. There's the head. Christ is our head, right? Let's go to Colossians once again. Look at Colossians 1:17. And he, well, let's look at verse 16. Now let's look at verse 15. We're talking about the image anyway, so I'll read it. Who is the image? That's the Lord, right? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? See the image? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, just like you read in Ephesians. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's a mouthful, isn't it? He's the creator. All right? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's to be first. He's the head. Okay? Notice back at verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God? So there's he's the express image of God. That's Hebrews 1:3 over there. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, Jesus Christ, who is the image of God? Okay, that's who Adam was created in likeness of, right? He looked just like Jesus Christ. When he sinned, he lost that image. What did Christ come to restore? The image of God inside of you. That's that divine nature that you did not have before you were saved. Okay, let's keep reading. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body. The church, that's the body of Christ. That's a mystery given to Paul, both Jew and Gentile, neither Jew nor Greek. Okay? So when Christ came, you bore the image of Adam before. Now you've got the image of Christ inside of you. That's why you must be born again. Okay? You had the wrong image. You had the wrong head. Now, if you're born again, you've got the right head. Okay? Colossians 1:15, we just read that. Let's look at Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay? Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is he talking about there? Look back at Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's 17, all the new Bibles change that from creature to creation. Okay? But he says here, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You got to compare Scripture with Scripture to get what he's talking about. Because the reason is because a Jehovah's Witness will take that verse in 1:15 and say, oh, see, he's a creature. He was created. Mm-mm. He's the firstborn of every creature. Firstborn of what? The Spirit of God. He was born of a virgin. Amen? And when you get born again, you get put into that family, you get put into the body of Christ. Nobody else was ever born of the Spirit of God. Adam was created from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. But nobody was born of the Spirit of God until Jesus Christ showed up on the earth. And therefore, that's a new creature that never existed before. You're a new creature in Christ. See, people. Now, what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians 5, if you look at it, look at verse 15, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, no. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He's not down here walking about the earth. He's not the carpenter's son. That was his reputation that people knew him of when he was on the earth. But now we have a new understanding, a new relationship with Christ, because we understand he's God in the flesh. Look at here now. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become now new. Now, you got to be careful with that verse, because sometimes the Calvinists love to twist that thing. Okay, but here's the thing. It's just like when people say, you know, say about me, it's, well, I knew you back when. You used to do such and such. Yeah, but that's who I used to be. But now I'm a new creature in Christ. And although I might do some of those things still, because I still have an old man hanging on me, I'm still a new creature in Christ. You no longer know me after the flesh. My reputation and the things that I used to do, you no longer know me as that person. Why? Because I'm a new creature. I'm in Christ. I'm not in Adam, and I'm in Christ. My headship has changed. Okay, so when somebody tries to come along and put you into that bondage because they want to drag you back down to that old man, those feeble ways, that's what you're trying to do because, well, you can't say nothing to me. I know you back when. Yeah, that's who I used to be. But I'm not him anymore. There's a new man living inside of me that was not there before. I'm a new creature created in the image of God. Saith what? Saith the scripture. Amen? Okay. And so I've put a couple of them to the test on that one. I said, all right, well, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, therefore, and what they'll try to do is this, well, if you're really saved, you wouldn't do X, Y, and Z. Okay. I asked that same person, I said, all right, before you were saved, you like football?
Well, yeah.
Okay, after you saved, you like football? You sure talk about it a lot.
Well, yeah.
Well, I thought you were a new creature in Christ. You shouldn't like all those old things, right? Paul said he counted them but dung. That he may win Christ. Let me ask you this. Were you a Republican before you were saved?
Well, yeah.
Are you a Republican now?
Well, yeah.
Well, I thought you were a new creature in Christ. See, God didn't change your personality. He created he recreated that image. That image is born again after the image of him that created him. So you got to be careful with that verse because we'll get into Galatians, but talking about, you know, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness, all those things. Guess what? Any saved man can do anything a lost man to do. Why? Because the flesh wasn't saved. People go around all the time trying to perfect their flesh, and they're wasting their time. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The thing that who's on the inside needs to come out on the outside. But we do it the opposite way, don't we? We try to perfect the flesh, put on this religious, you know, show without working on the new man on the inside. Okay? So, let's go back to Romans 5. That stuff wears me out because it wears people out. Talked to a couple last week, been listening to a lot of John MacArthur. He's a 5-point Calvinist. Smart man, brilliant man. Okay? But what he had been preaching to them was putting them in bondage. Okay, you get into that whole tulip thing and perseverance of the saints and, well, if you're really saved, you wouldn't do X, Y, and Z, drink, cuss, smoke, and all that kind of stuff. But listen, you can do anything a lost man will do. Depends on who you're feeding the most. And what happens is a person can't enjoy their salvation because they start looking at everybody else and they're saying, well, I don't do what they do. Well, how do you know what they do? You follow them around every day? Don't let this suit fool you, folks. Just animated sin ball. Amen. Don't ever forget that. Okay, so just keep that in mind, all right? Go back to Romans chapter 5. All right, so look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who was him that was to come. That's so he's the figure of Christ. He's a type of Christ. Okay? Not his actions, but his headship, what he did, or who he was, who he was given dominion. But he looked just like the Lord because he was created in the image of God. Lost that image. We just went through that in detail. Okay? But he's a type of him that was to come. But let's look back at the verse. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. So we talked about this back in Romans chapter 2. What about the heathen that never heard? Right? So what are they judged by? Conscience, right? So if a person has no knowledge of good or evil, they're safe. Just like Adam and Eve. Don't worry about the heathen, you need to worry about yourself. Okay? So, but they still died. Why? Because of Adam's transgression. Death passed upon all men. Okay? So if they had a knowledge of good and evil, this is why we went back into Romans 2 and I talked about all these pagan religions. How many of those religions had blood sacrifice? And human sacrifice on top of that. Why? Because they understood that they were no good. Now, how's God going to judge them? He's going to judge them according to their conscience. Okay? But listen, the gospel's been going out for 2,000 years. We've sent out missionary upon missionary upon missionary. Okay? And so if you get somebody that wants the light, God will get them the light. Let's go back to Romans 2. Did Christ taste death for every man? Yes, he did. Okay. Look at Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's the second coming, right? Who will render every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So there's a comparison in contrast. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. He causeth every man, all men everywhere to repent. That's what Paul says in Acts 17. So if a man wants the light, God will give him the light. Okay, let's look at it. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. What's 10 a number of? The number of? Gentile. Okay, Genesis chapter 10, table of the nations. Okay, let's look here. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. Are those good things? Is he saved? Not saved yet, but he's doing good things, isn't he? He's walking with the light that God gave him. Okay? He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Okay? This is the famous chapter. Peter comes. Got the great sheet knit at the four corners. Lord tells him, rise and eat. He says, not so, Lord. He argues that the missionary is the problem, not the message. Okay? And so he goes over here, and Cornelius and his whole house come before Peter in the preaching of the word of God. God uses men, okay, to preach a message. And it's up to you to receive it. And they receive from the heart that doctrine that was preached to them about the death, the burial, the resurrection. Look at it over here. Look at verse 40. Acts 10:40. Him God raised up. This is Peter preaching the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but witnesses chosen before God, of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. There's the resurrection. And he commanded us to preach us unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. See the whosoever? Now look what the Bible does. Verse 44, there's a paragraph mark. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word before baptism, saved by grace through faith, by the preaching of the word of God. What did they do? Well, they believed on the Lord. From where? From here. Look at Romans 10. See the transition? You better stay away from Acts 2:38. You better understand the transition that took place in the book of Acts. Look at Romans 10:9, for thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That outward part that comes out already started in the heart. They believed, Holy Ghost came on them, came into them, which was a mystery that they didn't have any understanding of at that time. That was given to Paul. So, happened with what? The preaching. So we're talking about the heathen who never heard. Well, they understand there's a creation, Romans 1:20. If they understand that there's a God like the American Indians, the Great White Father, okay, all those, they understood those things. Okay, so God's going to judge them according to the light that they have. Should not the whole judge of the earth do right? Sure he will. He's not an unjust God. Okay? Amen? So let's go back to Romans chapter 5. I don't want to spend too much time on that verse because there's a lot we could say on it, but a lot of times that thing genders strife because you're going to get into some other arguments that people want to throw in there. But just understand, you just need to worry about yourself. Okay, if you're under the preaching of the Word of God and you've been rejected and rejected and rejected, you are held accountable for the light that you have. Amen? Don't worry about the heathen in Africa. I've heard of Africans, matter of fact, getting a track in a jungle, okay, and they got saved, and they sent the letter back to the man. It was, matter of fact, it was Dr. Ruckman's track. And it said, Mr. Bible Man, can you send me more of these? I got saved. I'm Jesus man now. Can I have more? How in the world that track got all the way to Africa, we have no idea, but it got there. And so there was a heathen who wanted the truth, got the truth, looked at it, read it in his own language, believed it, got saved. Okay, and that happens all the time. Does God's word return unto him void? No, it doesn't. You just put it out. You'd be surprised. There was another story of a missionary. He was from Australia. He used to stand in the street corner, and he would just stand there faithfully, and he'd stand out and he'd hand out tracts. Hand out tracts. Well, there was a missions conference going on in London, and some of the folks started talking about this guy, and this one missionary was listening, and all these guys had the same stories, talking about this guy in Australia passed out tracts. And so I don't know how this guy did it, but he tracked all these folks down, and there were somewhere in the numbers of upwards of 200,000 people who had gotten saved just because this one faithful man sat on the corner passing out tracts. So he went down to Australia, knocked on his door, said, introduced himself, I'm such and such, and I just want to tell you that I was at a missions conference, and this is the fruit that has been produced from your ministry. And the man began to cry, and he said, I had no idea that I was having any impact, but I just was being obedient and stood out there on the street corner and passed out tracts. His reward is great in heaven. So don't worry about the heathen. You just worry about you. Amen? Our problem is obedience. That's our problem. All right, let's go back to Romans 5. Nevertheless, death reigned, verse 14, from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. All right, here we go once again. Condemnation. Justification. Under Adam, you were condemned. Under Christ, you're justified. Can you lose it? No. Can you get out of Christ's body? No. Can't lose your salvation, right? That's where you started. That's where you end if you receive Jesus Christ. Okay? Once again, did you do anything to receive that curse from Adam? Did you do anything for it? No. It's not, you didn't do anything to receive that. All right? But then again, here's the free gift. But you have to make that decision. This is where people get into this whole election and all that stuff. And some are saved, some are created to be destroyed, and some are created to be saved. No, it's up to whosoever will. But as many as received him. Who's the many? As many as receive him. All right, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:9. Second Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that how many? Any should perish. But how many? But that all should come to repentance. All means all. You know what all means in the Greek? All. Everybody. Okay, he tasted death for how many? Every man. Amen? So, we started out in condemnation, we end in justification. Let's go back to Romans 5. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Once again, though, let's go back to the illustration of a gift. Okay, I use it all the time, but trying to get people to understand. Here it is. Here's the gift. I give it to her. Could she have rejected that? She could have, but what did she do? She received it. Okay? It's a free gift. Who paid for it? If I'm in the illustration, Christ paid for it, right? He gives it out. Whosoever will, you want it, come get it. Drink of the water of life freely. All right, let's stop. See the freely? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I think we talked about this before. Why didn't they eat of the tree of life? Could they have eaten of it? It was free. It was right there the whole time. Why didn't they eat of it? A lot of people reject salvation. They take it for granted. They think it'll always be there. But one day it wasn't. God shut them off, put some cherubs out there, swords and flames of fire, kept them away from that tree. They took it for granted. That's what people do with salvation all the time. You know, it's called the simplicity of Christ, not the complexity of Christ, right? So all the time when you try to, you witness to somebody and you give them the gospel, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Taking to Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can't be that easy. It is. Now you got to be convicted. God's got to deal with you. You got to make that thing personal. Okay, it can't just be a lamb or their lamb. It's got to be your lamb. It's got to be personal. Okay, understand that. I'm not for this easy believism stuff. It's got to be personal. But salvation is simple. The problem is man's heart is blinded. Because why? Because sin. He loves darkness rather than light. Because his deeds are evil. And what they start doing is they start, if I take that, then I'm going to have to be like that. And I love my sin too much to go ahead and receive that free gift, so I think I'll just take my chances. That's what they do, isn't it, right? Brother, you've been a preacher and a pastor for a long time. Dealt with a lot of personal work. Is that not the case? And you stand there, you look at them in the face, you go, man, you were this close. This close. I had a guy, and I'll leave you with this. When I used to work out there at Oak Ridge, and a guy I sat next to on a plane. We were all went to some big meeting out in Albuquerque, and we were flying back together. And just by chance, wasn't chance, but the Lord set me by him, and I got to witness to the guy and gave him a good full testimony and witness. And man, made him start thinking. Talked to him again. He went down to the cigar shop over there in Farragut, and he'd been talking to the guys down there. And these things, you could tell that he had, these things, just like, Herod over there, he did many things. He started to do some things. The word started sinking into him, and he started taking it to heart. And I was back there, this little place I used to sit, and I was reading commentary on Revelation. And I just sat back there, and I'd read. And it was like clear as day. Lord's like, put up the book. It's time to go witness. All right. I take it. All right, Lord, close the book. Walk into his office. Started witnessing to him. Started talking to him again. And he was listening intently. So much to the point where you knew the Holy Ghost was in the room. Lips started quivering. You could see those tears start welling up. I said, you could be saved right now. I said, the Lord told me to come down here and witness to you. You could get saved right here on the spot. You know what he did? Not today. Just like I said, he started looking at his sin and weighing his options. He said, not today. Okay, this is a true story. Paul, he's up there at the other building. He can tell you the same thing. Walked into work the next day. Hey, did you hear about such and such? Know what happened? Yeah, they came in here, escorted him out of the building. He'd been doing some things outside of work, been lying about his timesheet and those kind of things, and so his sin found him out. It caught up with him. He was gone. Took him out that next day. Went through some big leap. I called him, wouldn't answer his phone, left him a message saying, hey, I'm praying for you. You can still be saved. Next time I saw him, he was a mess. Now, that might be, I don't know why the Lord had me to say that, but I just want you to understand that, listen, it's a free gift, but listen, people reject it all the time. They take it for granted. Amen? Don't take what you have here for granted. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and leave there. We'll leave off in verse 18, so we'll finish the chapter next week and get into Romans 6. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for our mothers, Lord, and just pray that you bless them today, and just we just thank you for them, Lord, and I just thank you for my mother. I thank you for the fact that you saved her, and she gave me that Bible, and I thank you for that, Lord, and I thank you for Calvary, and thank you for our pastor, and just pray that you be with him today, and just bless him as he breaks the bread of life, Brother Barry, as he leads the choir one more time. And Father, I just pray for the service. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.